Two Americans will share in this year's Nobel Prize in Economics.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Two economists have been awarded the Nobel Prize in Economics. Christopher Sims and Thomas Sargent will split the $1.5 million prize. Both studied the correlation between the economy and the way government policy affects it. Art Rolnick is professor of economics at the University of Minnesota, where Sargent and Sims both taught for a time, and he's friends with both of them. Rolnick is with us now. Good morning, Professor.
Good morning.
So this research involves how policy decisions affect the economy. Why does that matter right now?
Well, it always matters. Cause and effect is a tough issue in economics because we can't do real experiments with the economy. So we have to glean from historical data what policies will impact unemployment, inflation, the business cycle, et cetera. And these two are leaders for many, many years, leaders in developing the theory and the empirical work to help us distinguish between actions that actually affect the economy in positive ways and those that don't.
You used to work with each one of these gentlemen, Professor Sargent and Sims. How do you think they reacted to the news? What was going through their minds, do you think?
My guess is they were a bit surprised. Right now, I would say macroeconomics is not in very high regard, especially given the problems we're having in this current economy with unemployment remaining so high. Nevertheless, it's times like this where we really need the kind of research they've done to help us work our way through what it's going to take to develop good policies so that we can minimize these kind of problems.
Do you think that Washington is paying attention to what these guys are saying now?
That's a good question. They should be. I don't know. I know Larry Summers, who was a president's chief economic advisor
right.
for many years, is well very familiar with both the work of Tom Sargent and Chris Sims. So I hope they are. I hope they're taking a hard look at what these guys say, because I think it would lead to a much better outcome in the future.
Professor Art Rolnick from the University of Minnesota. Professor, thanks.
Thank you, sir.
Let's do the numbers. Markets are higher right now across the board. The Dow is up more than 2.5%, 284 points at 11,387. The Nasdaq's up about 3.25% at the moment. The S&P 500 up about 3% right now. So a big day on the markets. Global markets mostly higher as well. A big meeting yesterday with German Chancellor Angela Merkel and French President Nicolas Sarkozy. They say they're going to release detailed responses to the European debt crisis by the end of the month. And that includes a plan to ensure European banks have enough capital to survive. Only a lucky few get the day off for Columbus Day today. Still, retailers are pegging big sales to this holiday. But do stores actually make much money on Columbus Day? Here's Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer.
You're probably working today, but that doesn't stop retailers from trying to spin this day into a moneymaker. Marshall Cohen is the chief retail analyst at the NPD Group.
As retailers have looked every month to find a way to create a holiday so that consumers will feel the urge to spend or shop or save.
Save during Columbus Day sales of electronics. Cohen says many stores have furniture on sale for people who want to get rid of their ratty old recliners before the invasion of the in-laws during the real holidays. John Long is a retail strategist at Kurt Salmon. He says retailers will also try to get you into a new winter coat.
Probably the most important thing about Columbus Day is that it's a great transition point. So you will get customers coming in looking for some of the cold weather items, sweaters and the like.
For lots of stores, October is their third best month of the year, actually because Halloween also helps scare up sales. In Washington, where lots of people have today off, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Netflix says it's nixing the plan to split off its DVD movie rental service to a new company called Quickster. The firm says it moved too fast on the plan. Its stock price has moved too fast as well, down more than 20% just in the last 3 weeks. But Netflix does say it's keeping its new pricing structure that was announced last summer.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. By CenturyLink, a new kind of broadband company linking Americans coast to coast with consistently fast speeds and personal service. More at CenturyLink.com. And by Constant Contact, combining email marketing and social media for more customers and more time back on the clock. Learn more at ConstantContact.com.
I don't think anyone's going to dispute the fact that our economy is off its A game. But whether or not we're in a recession may be just a technicality at this point. Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan's with us now to talk about it this morning. Morning, Alan.
Good morning, Steve.
The economy's already in the tank. I mean, why does anyone care if we're in a recession?
Well, I don't know if people care, but the one thing I can tell you is it's going to take a long time to find out if, in fact, we're in a recession now. We won't know for probably at least a year and maybe longer.
Well, I mean, what's the official definition of a recession?
It's whatever something called the Business Cycle Dating Committee says is a recession.
That's not what it sounds like, I'm sure.
No, it is not an internet pickup operation. It's a bunch of very serious economists working out of something called the National Bureau of Economic Research.
You know, Alan, we may not technically be in a recession, but will we be sometime soon?
Who knows? Maybe we're in a recession now. You'll be glad to know that the end of the last recession, which the committee decided ended in June of 2009, they announced that in September of 2010, which was 15 months later. So ask me in 13 months whether we're in a recession now, and I'll have an answer for you.
We'll have to go to the dating committee. So,
hey, I'm a married man. You be careful.
Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan. Alan, thanks.
You're welcome, Steve.
And finally, while the economy's not doing so hot, the National Retail Federation says Halloween spending is up 10% over last year. Americans are going to shell out nearly $7 billion on Halloween this year. That's billion with a B. Spending on average about $72 apiece, doling out candy, putting up decorations, and of course, dressing up. The price comparison website, sortprice.com, says superhero costumes are big this year, along with Angry Birds and zombies. Ooh. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles, online at marketplace.org. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Small towns aren't competing with cities anymore. Instead, they're partnering up. Give a little, get a little.
People today look at Des Moines as being an asset instead of being detrimental.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Small towns, big towns, they're making it work. That story and the day's business news next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.